Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's the Luca Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson. I was trying to perfect before the record the noise that the buzzer makes in catchphrase when you buzz in.
It's good. It's a very good impression, and it's good that whatever changes about catchphrase, the hosts, the contestants, sometimes even the graphics, the real star of the show is that noise.
Yeah. Where do we stand on... It's not even Bradley Walsh, is it? Bradley Walsh is...
Stephen Mulhern now, isn't it?
Stephen Mulhern.
Who do you get if you can't afford an Ordeck?
It's Mulhern. Yeah.
It's Mulhern, baby.
Mulhern,
give me an Mulhern button.
Mulhern, one would suggest, revels in it as well. I saw him once at a tube station door, and that's all I've got.
A tube station door?
Yeah, and my boss looked just like him. My ex-boss used to look like him. So that's all I've got on Mulhern.
But when you say tube station door, do you mean a tube train door?
No, I mean the barriers.
Okay, right.
They're like little kind of... they're like saloon doors, aren't they?
They are a bit, yeah. Severe saloon doors.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have quite the same effect if like a kind of an outlaw moseyed into a saloon in the Wild West.
After using just went, Apple Pay.
And it went... Ka-chunk.
After it's
not using the same thing, is it?
List.
You'd have been a push still, open.
I'm still a paper man because I live out in the sticks. It's a 37 quid.
Don't be bringing
quid.
Paper tickets up into the commute, baby.
37 quid for a travel card in and out. And
for
also
a single
when,
trip?
Single day. That's my day's transport.
You can travel anywhere in Germany on the train for €15.
It's a disgrace. There was a man who was like a... Well, it's a boy, really. He's a kind of software developer. And he basically is this digital nomad who lives on a train. He just gets on a train in the morning and just goes like right throughout most of Germany for a laugh, and then he'll just get off in like Berlin and just hang out there for a bit. And he sleeps on the train, he eats and showers in the sort of German rail company's kind of lounge. I think the first class lounge, and I think he spends about €10,000 a year on first class travel everywhere. And he looks like he has a lovely life, but I mean, he says he can't get used to sleeping in a bed that's not moving.
Wow,
horrible,
so the difference for those people listening to this show, want to know the difference between you and me, Pete. You see that as quite an aspirational, interesting story, whereas I see that as really depressing.
Yeah, but
you're always on the move, aren't you?
I find travel quite, you know, like when, in the same way that like crackheads always on the move quickly, they're always shuffling off to get something or to move away from something. And I just always think that's the way to be. Always be moving. And no one will ever find out what you've done. Not the crack. Well, makes you move faster, I suppose.
Yeah. So I've talked about this a number of times, but just it is remarkable to me how difficult it is for you to stay in the same place. I mean, I'm quite bad for it. I don't really like pub quizzes for that reason. The reason I can't get past pub quizzes, look, I don't want to blow my own trumpet, Pete, because you know it's not really my style. But as you can probably imagine, because of my general knowledge, I get asked to do a lot of pub quizzes.
Right. Okay.
And I always say no. Because I just hate the idea of having to sit in a pub from 7:30, knowing I can't get out of there till like 10:30. I just don't want to. I might not want to do that.
Yeah,
you know? I might want to do it. I might want to sit there and have a drink for a few.
But you like a pub. What's wrong?
I like
with...
a pub, but I don't like to be dictated to in a pub.
Right,
it's enforced fun. The pub should be the last bastion of people being able to do what they want.
Would you ever kind of consider doing like half a pub quiz. I'll be like a kind of gun for hire, just kind of float around. Sort of
bring me in for a round.
If you give me £5, I'm in for a round. You buy me a drink, I'm in for your round. And just float around like a floating voter.
You give me a fiver, right, and I'll join you up to and including ITV2 series.
Right, then, okay, yeah. I mean, you've said you're not a big fan of all that business.
No,
all
I'm not. Business. Actually, that's the worst category for me, along with probably capital cities. I'm not very good on geography. Anything else I'm all right at.
All right, okay, well, if my phone hadn't suddenly decided to not give me any data, I could have given you a couple of questions there.
If you give me a few capital city questions, I might be all right. But it's a real weakness to my game. So really, really modern music, geography, and probably ITV products are going to be my biggest weaknesses.
All right. Say. Who wrote the book Chitty Chitty Bang Bang: The Magical Car?
Don't know.
It was Ian Fleming. Was it?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah,
wow.
That rings a bell.
What is the name of the 1976 film about the Watergate scandal starring Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman?
It's called All the President's Men.
All the President's Men.
Yeah.
Who was the head of state in Japan during the Second World War?
General Hirohito, is it?
Emperor Hirohito.
Emperor
was he really in charge, though?
I don't know.
The Emperor's really in charge. I mean, the Emperor was the one who gave up. He was the one who gave up and he recorded his giving up speech, yeah, that's how you say it, onto two vinyl records. And I think part of the army were trying to make the war continue, and they were running around his castle trying to find these two records. Stop it getting out, to stop them laying down, you know, the message to lay down your arms. It's fascinating. And that time when he recorded this speech, a lot of people hadn't heard the Emperor ever speak, and so he had this kind of very sort of posh sort of language that nobody really sort of properly understood properly.
Was he speaking like old Japanese or something?
He was speaking like proper, like royal family, like, you know, wrong and like really old school Japanese.
I love that.
That not many people could understand.
I've just on that note, a lot of the kind of mid probably to late 20th century historiography around the dropping of the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki have always been like, oh well, you know, it actually saved more lives than it killed, because longer term it just meant that the Japanese had to surrender. But actually the general consensus now, as far as I understand it, is that they were probably about to surrender anyway.
Yeah.
And
okay, that sounds about right.
It was completely unnecessary to do it. But anyway, just interest. But anyway, the answer is Hirohito. I knew that.
Right. Okay.
Any more questions, or was that it?
Well, I mean, to be honest,
two questions. One about Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and one about Japan. Oh, and All the President's Men, which I've read. I've read the book. The book is fantastic.
What was the Turkish city of Istanbul called before 1930?
Constantinople.
You're correct. Name the coffee shop in US sitcom Friends. Easy.
Central Perk.
How many human players are there on each side in a polo match?
Oh, I'm from the working classes, so I don't know.
You can't just pull that.
I'll have a guess. I'm going to say six.
It's four.
Four.
It's basically
horses
four
involved.
Side,
it'd have to be a big pitch, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Those horses were doing that ran across London the other day.
Yeah. If you're a centaur, could you just get involved as like a kind of...
I also find it odd to think that centaurs have two rib cages.
Oh, nice. I like that. Yeah.
They have to have.
Yeah. Big fan of that. I mean,
is the horse part of the rib cage just empty?
Would it not? Could you not just run a big long rib cage? Yeah, because I think pervy artists of the centaur, they kind of put the start of the pubis on the man. You know what I mean? Leading into the muscular kind of
which is the chest of the horse.
Yeah, it's needless. I think they just wanted for it to. Kind of
sexier.
It'd be a bit sexier and muscular. Yeah.
So I would say that really, if you're going to be doing centaur stuff, the way I would go about it would be, I'm not doing any kind of genitals on the man bit.
Mm.
That's just chest. That's basically.
You're not upstaging a horse in that area anyway, are you?
No, exactly. It's embarrassing if anything. So you're going to go rib cage, stomach. Then you're going to go back into rib cage as you get between the horse's front legs.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go all the way back to stomach, and then horse genitals and then tail.
Put another rib cage.
With the legs and the arms. So there's six limbs.
If we're pissing about, let's just put another rib cage in there.
But there needs to, I mean, ultimately, you're going to really undermine the very fabric of the beast if you're not going to have a lower rib cage.
Well, exactly. I mean, like the whole idea of the ribcage is to protect. Does it have two hearts? I don't know. Like, presumably,
that's
you'd
what
want
I'm
the
saying.
Horse. Presumably, you want the horse heart to run everything, wouldn't you? Because it would be stronger and more
but
muscular.
But you want the human heart for love.
I think the rib. You should have one ribcage, but it basically it runs the down the pubis and round into where the horse's ribcage would start. I think it should be one gigantic ribcage, like a fencer's mask.
I can see. I think that's probably a great solution.
Mm.
So, I mean, octopuses have three hearts, don't they?
Okay, right.
One does the blood around the body, and the other one does the blood through the gills, I think.
And the other one just investing. the other one does NFTs.
Yeah, the third one's just a spare one.
Just for the grind.
It's like a spare tyre.
It's just for the grind.
It's surrounded. It's like in one of those defibrillator boxes.
Yeah.
You just break it open. And I also read that cockroaches have got hearts dotted all around their body, but I don't know if that's true.
Why would they need that then? Oh, what, like little kind of silo, kind of mini, like a start-stop battery on a car. It just does one thing.
They've obviously just evolved like that, but they're obviously incredibly old as in the evolutionary thing. But I think they've got loads of hearts.
I've just had a horrific thought. I was dicking about with that car import from Japan, and I opened up. I was replacing a wing mirror gasket, and I opened up the underneath the car. I opened up, like, unscrewed a load of stuff, and then opened up like this kind of plastic kind of protective shell, and a big Japanese snail fell on my hand.
What? It came all the way from you? Or you get in trouble for that?
I know, stowaway. Well, I couldn't help it. I didn't know it was in there.
Imported, invasive, an invasive species. It's still alive.
An invasive species. No, it wasn't. But then I was like, I was a bit weirded out by that, and I felt a bit ill. And then I pulled the trim back in further, and then a spider went on my hand. Now that could have been a dangerous one.
You didn't just let that go into the wildlife, did you?
What do you want me to do? I'm not king of the spiders, am I?
You have to kill it. You have to. It's invasive.
It was quick. I would have killed it if I could have caught it. Just went off to, you know, start a new Southend-based Japanese spider colony. I don't know. I couldn't help it.
Yeah, you're mockingly saying that now, but let's wait and see what happens in 6 months. Life comes at you fast, Donaldson. You'll be first against the wall, but the Japanese spiders come along.
The Japanese spiders come along.
Speaking of that, right, I didn't actually know there are any protocols involved at the point time because I was like 17 and working in Asda.
Yeah.
But I told you before that my mate Lewis...
Oh, finding stuff on the fruit.
He used to run the fruit and veg bit,
right.
And we once saw a massive fucking spider in the box of bananas.
Oh, dear God.
Like, massive. And I don't know what it was. I think the bananas came from the Caribbean at the time, possibly South America. But South America's where all the main ones are.
Yeah.
That and Africa, the terms of the spiders and that. And we just didn't know what to do. We're like, what the fuck are we going to do? So I think we ended up just throwing the box in the bin. So,
it was between that and play some reggae. What is wrong with you?
In my defence, in the last 27 years, I don't think South American spiders have taken over the whole of the South Coast. So it's not. It appears to be there's been no harm done, but it was a massive spider. It was furry and it looked fucking angry.
If it's one spider though, presumably it needs another spider to procreate. So. You know,
yeah, could have been another one in another box.
Exactly.
Do you remember the film Arachnophobia?
I do, but I don't really remember it. I know what it was about, but just a lot of spiders kicking about, innit?
It was great though, and had an amazing cameo from John Goodman, who plays like the exterminator guy.
Okay, yeah.
It was fantastic.
There was a video game around about that time that was just called Exterminator, and it was quite interesting because it just had like, this disembodied hand, and you just go around sort of like grabbing and twisting and punching these horrible animals that would arrive in your kitchen.
I just remember it being a really, really frightening movie, and I'm not even frightened of spiders necessarily, but it was pretty frightening. It was massive at the time, I remember.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do worry that what if your spider? I feel like with your one, you were young.
And there should be protocols in place. They should know about this stuff. They should be scanning things for this kind of thing.
Well, I mean, these places are important stuff all the time. So what are the chances of like a car, you know, importing a spider like that? But I guess with bananas, yeah, you should have been aware of the, if you see a naughty spider. It feels like, you know, when those, you go to, you watch those TV shows where people come in to like an airport and they've got like loads of like leaves in their bag.
Yeah.
And they're like, you can't have these. Like, you just cannot have these. And going, oh, I really need these. They always really need their leaves, don't they?
It's always
really want their leaves.
Those TV programs like that are always based in Australia, who are really, really strict on it. And they say to them every time,
well, it's
form,
always just they...
you've ticked that box on that form. Why have you done that?
Why have you done that? And they go, oh, sorry. It's every week that on that show. It's always someone who's brought an astonishing amount of food. And it's the kind of food that you can buy down the shops. It's just they've just collected all of the leaves in every jar in their house and put it in their suitcase.
Yeah.
And they're going, you can't have all of this. I mean, this is insanity. You could very easily buy all this stuff and it wouldn't even be... It would be cheaper to do it like that.
Yeah, I agree. When I played football in New Zealand, my football boots got impounded.
Right, okay.
Because they had grass on them.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. But I mean,
and so
grass, though,
I had to wait for that to be sprayed and like I had to wait for ages for them to be like quarantined or some shit.
Took the magic away from them.
They're very strict. Now, I think I'm right in saying they're very strict in New Zealand because of what's happened in Australia.
Right, okay.
Because it's like a really delicate island ecosystem.
Yeah.
They can't take chances. Because if you look, for example, I think a good example would be Hawaii. Hawaii has been the source of a load of back and forward between geopolitical relations for like hundreds of years.
Mm.
Obviously, relatively recent in the grand scheme of things, that it become part of the United States. Yeah. And obviously, the geographical location of it means it's a bit of an outlier. I don't think there's any original species left in Hawaii.
Right.
I think they're literally all invasive species because people just didn't give a shit about that kind of stuff then. So, you know, there'd be like a guy back in the day who sent out there to be the trade envoy from so-and-so, and he'd just take his dog with him, you know. And the boy, you know, the dog's killed every single native frog in Hawaii. Do you know what I mean? It's like, that kind of stuff is ridiculous. There's also amazing... The story of, like, the fight for power and diplomacy and geopolitical power in, like, the South Pacific is actually really interesting. There's a series of islands. Have you heard of these? Called the Guano Islands.
Right. Where the guano apes come from.
I don't know. But what I do know is that before... kind of artificial fertilizer was developed as a product.
Right.
Guano was a really, really precious commodity. And so there were these islands in the South Pacific called the Guano Islands. I'm not sure what they're called now. But they were literally untouched and they were 100 foot deep of guano.
Right. What is guano? Sorry.
Guano is like bird poo, basically.
Oh, okay.
And so they're these bird poo islands that were just worth...
Better than him. That is
a
better name.
Yeah, more descriptive. Worth like an incredible amount of money because they had so much of this essentially natural, amazing fertilizer.
Mm.
And so they didn't quite go to war over it, but certain countries were involved in skirmishes around securing those islands.
Yeah, right.
Because there was no way, other really effective way of you know, fertilizing.
Synthesizing this stuff, yeah. It's like ambergris, isn't it?
The US ended up taking control of them, and I think they still might even have control of them now.
Right.
But yeah, so it's all pretty interesting stuff. Peter, I can think of no better person to administer a guano island than your good self.
Yeah, I am. But would I be an invasive species myself? Would I be stealing those turds for my own things?
I can imagine you just going back, sending a letter back afterwards saying, turns out these islands were all completely covered in shit, so I just chucked them all in the sea.
Who wants to? I think we've got... I think comms has failed, and I don't think you want any of this stuff. I don't think you need this. I don't think you need any of this. It's just greasy, fishy bird shit.
My late uncle was a Victorian military historian of some repute, and he... he used to spend quite a lot of his time in his younger days digging out old Victorian forts.
Okay, right.
So like he would like dig them out, categorise them, you know, write books about them and stuff. That was like his thing. And some of them would have been like left in disrepair for literally since the Victorian times. And he said like a lot of time he was like going into these different chambers and essentially spending all day digging out like pigeon shit. It was like 6 feet deep.
Oh my God.
So you must really love Victorian military history to be doing that.
Yeah, I mean, are you kind of? It just seems like he just did it with his bare hands, like no.
Like a team of excavators and stuff.
Right. Okay. Well, that just makes it sound like he
with
was
his
just
hands.
Off. He was just on
what
a bit of a yomp.
Disrespectful view of the historian society. Oh, they're just like
no, but
they're
just
like
scrambling
feral,
around.
Like, weird Neanderthals.
Probably eating some of it. no, but I mean, like I'm just imagining a man, a boy, alone by himself with a shovel, not a team of excavators excavating with proper tools and heavy machinery.
I just said he was a Victorian historian of some repute. So he's
right.
he's got
he's got access, he's got means. Yeah, no, but I
I'll just save a bit of money, we'll do it with our hands. Buy some lovely beers later.
But historian isn't an archaeologist, so like historian just sounds like he's got no business with any kind of a shovel in his hand. That's all.
He's just using
that
one
was
of his books
concern.
To dig it out. We should, Pete. We should take a break. When we come back,
then.
I've got something else I want to talk to you about, and I'll be honest with you, it is about animal shit.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
We're back with a look at Pete Shaw. Luke... Sale. I've just realised what that says. The Patreon Football Ramble entry has just gone up and it says General Sarke tickets. And I was like, I was trying to figure out what that meant for the Palladium.
Is it a typo?
It's a typo, but it took me quite a long time to sort of go, they tried to say sale. General sale tickets are available. Yes. Get yourself to footballramblelive.com.
Good little
just a little reminder there.
Nice little contextual plug. When I was talking to you earlier about guano and bird poo, I don't really know where the word guano comes from. It sounds vaguely kind of possibly Native American, possibly South American Spanish. But anyway, I think it probably is South American Spanish. But talk about poo. What was really interesting is that, like, there is, whether people want to admit it or not, a kind of hierarchy to animal poo, isn't there? And what I mean by that is that if a bird poos
on
your
hand,
or you get it on your hand,
right,
you don't seem to mind as much.
What poo do you not want on you? Like,
there's
a
hierarchy of the most offensive animal poos, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. But also, I think it's changed if you have access to certain animals, I would say.
It's a bell curve,
though. You find
it less
offensive.
It's a bell curve, because if the animal's really small, it doesn't bother you. Like, if a rabbit dropping lands on your hand, you're not bothered. If a bird poos on your hand, you're not bothered. It's not ideal, but you're not, you know, you're not going
to vomit. I would say bird poo's more offensive, but I agree with you. Like, rabbit to, like, mouse droppings.
Exactly.
You see them and you're like, pathetic.
But cat, dog, fox, horrific.
Yeah.
Then, weirdly enough, this is what I'm talking about, the bell curve. Like, if you imagine a bell curve, it's like small animal, inoffensive, all the way up to kind of dog, cat, fox, really offensive.
Yeah.
When you're getting up towards elephant and horse, it's actually not that bad again.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, horse and then cow. Cowpats are pretty funny.
I think cowpats is bad.
Cowpats is bad, but it's got like a crust on the top, so it's hard to, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
The farmyard aspect makes it not as bad.
Yeah.
Would you rather, forget the size, I'm talking about the general offering here, would you rather tread, because I remember when I was camping once as a kid, my mum trod barefoot in a cowpat, right? Would you rather
They don't eat meat, and I think it's animals that eat meat is the issue.
That dog might poo, be a really interesting, yeah, that could be
poo,
the angle.
Cat poo is disgusting,
yeah,
but it's because they eat meat, and grass-fed animals aren't. isn't quite as bad, I would say. Like, rabbit poo's hilarious. Like,
yeah.
And weirdly, Sammy will, if he sees rabbit poo, he will have a crack at eating it. It's absolutely disgusting.
But won't
absolutely
he eat anything?
Disgusting. Well, he won't eat like most other poos, but he'll have a go at a rabbit poo.
but what I'm saying is, would you rather tread barefoot in a cow pat or a dog poo?
Cow pat, dog poo, cow pat. Yeah, yeah. Because I've done dog poo and it's not nice.
So you take that off the list.
I think I've done that in the last 3 months. I think I've done it 3 times.
It's not like visiting a holiday destination. No, I've done that before.
Yeah, exactly.
No point doing that.
I've got like a little foil covered map that I scrape off when I.
I've done every species of dog.
I want to stand in that wombat poo that's square, cuboid.
I'm pretty sure scientists worked out why that was now, didn't they? They thought it was to do with the shape of the anus, but it turns out it isn't.
Is it? Oh, I thought it was like the lower intestine doing its.
I'm absolutely freestyling here, but I think I read that scientists have worked out that evolutionary speaking, wombat droppings tend to be square because they live almost exclusively in quite hilly environments.
And so they want
to mark their territory, and they're much more successful at marking their territory if the droppings don't roll downhill.
Evolution. Like some forms of evolution, you're just like, that you're being silly. You're being absolutely silly. But then loads of animals live on quite hilly things. Those goats, those mountain goats, are they territorial animals?
I might be wrong on that. I wouldn't take my word for it. It's not really my area of expertise. Nothing is really, to be honest.
Well, the animal poop pub quiz. Can't wait for that one. Looking forward to it.
How would that manifest itself, though? Would it be like a pitch around? That's a good one for a pitch around.
I think I saw a kid's book in Waterstones. Do we still have Waterstones? I was in a bookshop in England. It must be Waterstones. Like, there isn't any other, is there? They've got to be still in.
You've got
there.
Foils, haven't you, in town? You've got
Foils
Hatchard on Piccadilly. It's a famous old one.
Foils War. Yeah, I think I was in there and I saw a kid's book and it was whose poop is this?
My niece has got that book.
I bought the game for Mark Haines' Ben, and they played it almost immediately. That is quite satisfying. If you give someone a gift, they immediately start playing it. There's nothing better. Even if they perhaps just take some pictures for you to say that they're doing it.
Kids are clever, and you think they probably just know that that's going to make you happy, so they just do it.
Exactly.
And as soon as you leave, they just chuck it in the bin. This is not a Nintendo Switch game.
No, exactly.
So I'm not interested. Yeah. Speaking of earlier, I said about holiday destinations. Are you someone who goes to holiday destinations more than once, or do you like to move on somewhere completely different?
I'm away next week and off to Cornwall, which I've been to a couple of times. We're going back to the massively, because we're going back for the second time to that little hut on the beach that I explored in the loft.
Oh, are you really?
The ceiling. Yeah,
the scene of the crime?
Going for a revisiting of the crime.
Because that's the last thing they'll expect. He's not going to be stupid enough to turn up again.
It can't have been him.
They're going to be waiting for you, mate.
Well, they didn't wait for me last time, did they? But yeah, about 2 years ago, I put my foot through a ceiling in an Airbnb. And then we went back the next year. And then we're going back again because it's so good.
And
even with my foot through the ceiling.
You didn't get busted.
Didn't get busted. Did a bit of patched up DIY, which in every coming year just looks more and more ratty.
And they're not going to be sitting there waiting to ambush you.
No,
I'll tell you this. It could be that they do know you did it.
Mm.
They were so impressed with the job you did to fix it, they can't wait for you to come back do some more jobs for them.
Do some more bits and bobs, yeah. Well, I lost my glasses on that beach when I fell off a jet ski, and I'm just hoping that I'm going to find them. I'm just going to go back again.
Okay, that was like message in a bottle. That seems to be quite unlikely.
Yeah.
I'm going to the Lake District in July after the Euros, little breakaway after the Euros, which I'm excited for. The Wi-Fi I have access to has already got me a hiking backpack that my son can sit in.
Nice, yeah. They're tidy. Have you worn one of those before? Because you're a tall man, so I imagine your back's quite strong.
Not true. I've worn one without a child in it.
Right.
And I tried to experiment with a 24 slab of Pepsi Max Cherry, which is roughly the same weight as my son.
Right.
And about 8.3 kilos.
Mm.
And it was fine, but you're not factoring in there is the fact that the Pepsi Max Cherry 24 pack doesn't really move. So the distribution of weight isn't affected.
Yeah.
And the thing I always found with carrying the baby in the sling and stuff like that, is that it's not the weight, obviously, because they're very small when they're newborns, but it's that you're not used to carrying something on your front. It feels weird.
Yeah.
And it does start to ache your back because your body's not used to doing it. It's almost a bit like when you go skiing and you start to use muscles that you've got no cause to use anymore because evolution has just not caught up yet.
There's one on the side of the bath, but I've got no cause to use it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So we'll see how we go. I think it's one of those things that, I have to acknowledge that the Wi-Fi I have access to is a brilliant parent and does everything, really. Yet I'm still annoyed that she's unilaterally decided that it's me carrying him around all the hills in the Lake District when we could be better if we could mix it up.
I mean, I hate to let people through the curtain, but I mean, she is tiny.
Yeah, but she's also like a brilliant athlete.
Right. Yeah, but you're a big, strong boy. You've got to do the big, strong boy
stuff. No, I look big, but I'm not strong. The power to weight ratio of me is probably the worst of anyone you know. I can't do a single pull-up.
It's a Nissan Leaf.
I can't even do a press-up.
Right. I'm just worried that you are going to be in the, you know, in the doctor's surgery getting injections into a 24-can pack of Pepsi Max. Yeah. If that's your training.
He's been quite quiet recently.
Yeah. Stop taking the baby.
I think it's just... On paper, if you looked at it kind of objectively, you would say, this man, yes, he's 6'3" and a lump, right? But he's in his mid-40s almost now, and he's not looked after himself. So take that into account. This person here is a lot younger, used to be an enthusiastic gymnast and cheerleader, can basically turn her hand to any sport really well, and is American, so therefore had an outdoor lifestyle and doesn't make excuses for herself. Who are you giving the baby to? It isn't going to be me.
Why don't you just put her on your back?
I forgot to ask you.
And the baby can walk around.
Do you want to come to the Lake District for a week in July?
Strong boy.
Yeah. Anyway, Pete, let's get out of here. That's enough for Monday. We'll be back on Thursday with our batteries and our other stuff, won't we?
I'm about to climb aboard Luke Moore. It's going to be it would be the same image of Luke Skywalker carrying around Yoda. I'm going to climb on Luke's back and we're going to run away into the jungle.
So you're not really as wise as Yoda?
I look as old as Yoda. I'm as green as Yoda.
You've got a bit of the Yoda about you, for sure.
Oh, God, I had a terrible... I was sort of up half the night worrying about some prawns I got out of the freezer. I think it was about 2 years old. But I was fine in the end. I shouldn't have worried. We'll be back. We'll be back on Thursday.
I was going to ask you a question, but maybe I'll just ask you that on Thursday.
Yeah, all right then. We'll be back soon and with more battery brands and stuff. So
see you then.
Hello at LukeandPeteShow.com. Bye-bye.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.